Missed an episode of your favorite podcast? Choose from over a decade of content in our archives. Not just the latest episode. All free at GCNlive.com.
Snow, snow, snow in the Northeast, and ISIS beheading Christians. 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians. Wow, the video is just so gruesome from what I'm told. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight. You know, it's just getting old, isn't it? It wouldn't be a show if we weren't talking in some way about some barbaric thing that ISIS has done. No doubt about it, this one has to rank way up there. I think the idea is just to get more graphic, more shocking, more in your face every time they decide they're going to kill people that they've kidnapped. So the video, which was on a Twitter feed of a website that, you know, supports ISIS, showed a bunch of men in this typical orange jumpsuits that we've seen before, led along a beach. Every single one had a masked ISIS member with them. So then they kneel, and then they go down the line, basically, as I mentioned, they go down the line, and what they're doing is they had been holding these 21 Egyptian Coptic Christians for weeks. They were all laborers. They were rounded up from the city of Siriti in December and January. So it's not clear exactly on the video whether all of them were killed. But it certainly shows beheadings, like they're going down the line. And in the video, it says, "All crusaders, safety for you will only be wishes, especially if you are fighting us all together. Therefore, we will fight you all together. The sea you have hidden Sheikh Osama bin Laden's body in, we swear to Allah, we will mix it with your blood." And then they are laid face down and then simultaneously, you know, beheaded. So the Egyptian government, of course, is reacting, and the Coptic Church, which is based in Egypt, say that the video is authentic. And now the killings raise the possibility, which ISIS is grabbing territory, meaning they control about a third of those countries. So it's spreading a little bit further. Certainly it is spreading. And they make a reference to going to Rome, to conquering Rome, meaning going into Italy. So there is a lot of panic, a lot of fear, certainly, connected with the acronym ISIS. And the White House releases a statement where Press Secretary Josh Earnest condemned the killings as despicable and cowardly. Everybody's searching for new adjectives, and they're all the same thing, saying that the barbarity just knows no bounds, and that's exactly what we're seeing. But the White House statement didn't really refer to the hostages as Christians, but only as Egyptian citizens and innocents. So we know that there's probably going to be more of that verbal jumping jacks that we keep seeing, that keeps happening over anything that's released from the White House on ISIS when it has to do with any religious bent. Like, did they not purposely mention that? And certainly that's something that's being talked about already. The bottom line is, I mean, it is just more about in-your-face video showing we're going to do this and we're going to do that and we're going to threaten this. And now you have to wonder, you know, just how many people have they recruited? How do you really, really smoke them out, stomp them out, kill them? How do you get rid of them? And this is the big discussion, of course, that's going to happen on the Hill once everybody's back from their week off, because the president calling for war against ISIS, and the fact that that's going to be debated. How far do we ultimately go there? But the territory, I think, is what is so incredibly frightening that they just are grabbing more and more. And then the veiled threat, and maybe not so veiled, about conquering Rome, meaning will they really step into Italy and this will be the next thing that happens? And are we going to see more of the kind of lone wolf, disenfranchised, okay, I'm going to just say it in the name of ISIS, but I'm not really connected to the main group, because that's the other biggest fear. And that's the biggest fear in the United States. Somebody doing something like that, tagging it on to ISIS, but yet they're really so-called a lone wolf terrorist. Coming up in this hour of America Tonight, speaking of terror, the Middle East, and all of that wrapped into one, we love our conversations with Ivan Elin. We have him on the show maybe a couple of times a month. He's a writer for Huffington Post, and he's an economist by trade, if you will, and he has an incredible breadth of knowledge when it comes to anything having to do with the Middle East and interference and where are we going and are we going to end up with boots on the ground and all that kind of stuff. So it's one of our weekly re-racks as we do here heading into the week, and all those conversations with him are just so fantastic. So that's coming up here on ATN. Also, we'll talk about the snow. I mean, how can you not mention the snow? Every day when I wake up, I have friends in New England. We have friends, of course, in New Hampshire. And they send me the pictures. And I have to tell you, it's almost bone-chilling just to look at the pictures. I mean, I feel it coming through the iPhone, let's put it this way. Because the snow just has no bounds. It has no bounds. And I was talking to someone in New York today. And I said, oh, I heard you're getting a dusting. They said, dusting? Dusting, we're not getting a dusting. We're going to have 5 or 6 inches. Do you call that a dusting? And I guess compared to what they've seen in Boston, it seems like a dusting, but yet it's not. So for those of you listening to me in the areas where you're getting snow, I feel you. I'm seeing the pictures. I'm not there, but I see what's happening, and certainly it's crazy the amount of snow removal that's going on in the East Coast, without a doubt. And we've had some flight things that have also happened, too. There's a big scare for a basketball team when an engine went down and they had to make an emergency landing. And then there was another crazy thing where a woman was stung by a scorpion, on a flight from Los Angeles to Portland, where they also had to do something. I guess they could crawl on the plane, but what are the odds that you would be the person that would get stung by a scorpion that happened to be near your seat, that you just happen to pick that seat, and that happens to you, and then you figure out it's a scorpion, and what do you scream, and then everybody gets hysterical, and it's just hard to wrap your mind around that. But, of course, planes are open. Things come in and out. And you can see how certainly things could get dragged on and how it's a possibility. But a very rare possibility, I would think. And the fact that then it ends up detouring a plane is just crazy. And then there were other experiences with turbulence that really frightened people, where they thought, wow, you know, is this plane going down? Is this plane going down? And we're going to talk about that coming up in our third segment here this hour. But next, a conversation with Ivan Elin, not to be missed. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Hi, this is Steve Spillum for Midas Resources. In 1971, President Nixon took the United States off the gold standard and put us into a fiat currency. This allowed Congress and the Federal Reserve to create trillions of dollars out of thin air. The national debt has risen to incredible heights, and your hard-earned dollars buy a small fraction of what they once did. The average life expectancy for a fiat currency is 27 years. The dollar is failing and on borrowed time. When currencies fall, people turn to gold and silver because gold and silver have been real money for more than 5,000 years. It is our mission at Midas Resources to help you preserve your capital. Don't let your personal savings shrink to nothing. For important free information on how you can protect your personal wealth, contact me, Steve Spillum, at 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Call today while we are still accepting dollars for gold and silver. 1-800-686-2237, extension 308. Make a change in your financial security today. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 308.
We've been patiently waiting. Waiting while you tried to ignore us. Waiting while you acted like we didn't exist. Waiting for our chance to be taken seriously. The wait is over. GCN is available 24/7 at GCNlive.com. Navigate through news from your favorite hosts and download archives of past shows. Download the app on your smartphone or tablet or visit GCNlive.com for instant access and live streaming. GCNlive.com, the future of talk radio. Now at your fingertips.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
Tonight, our pal Ivan Elin is in our virtual green room, the senior fellow and director, of course, at the Center on Peace and Liberty, the Independent Institute, and he's always pumping out some really interesting, I think, material that we talk about here on the show, and some of you agree a lot of times with what Ivan says and some don't, and that's what makes it so interesting. He really has a beat on, I think, what we're talking about and a little bit of a good edge there. So the headline is, America needs a more focused and restrained national security strategy. I'll just say it right there. What do you mean by that, Ivan?
Well, I think we need to decide what we want to do in the world and then make a master plan and do it. We haven't really had a master plan since the end of the Cold War. During the Cold War, our objective was to contain the Soviet Union until it fell of its own contradictions, as its author George Kennan said, meaning its communist system was non-viable. Well, of course, that actually happened. It took many years to do it, and that's what Condoleezza Rice was referring to in her statement, which is very true, whether you like her or not, and that is that a lot of these threats that we're seeing out there, they seem really bad because we see people burned alive and beheaded on TV. But, of course, that's what this group is trying to do. They're trying to bait us, as Bin Laden did, to go over the top. And then they use an over-the-top Western response to get more recruits and money, et cetera, for their cause.
Yeah, you know, and there's a part in your blog where you say, America leads from a position of strength, but this does not mean we can or should attempt to dictate the trajectory of all unfolding events around the world. As powerful as we are and will remain, our resources and influence are not infinite. And in a complex world, many of the security problems we face do not lend themselves to quick fixes and easy fixes. And this is the problem, and this is what you and I have talked about a lot, these wars that we've gotten into that are never ending, from Iraq to Afghanistan, and then what happens when we're gone ultimately, what has changed? And this puts us in a position of weakness, actually, because of all the money, blood, sweat, and tears that we've spent, don't you think?
Yeah, I think I'm in the politically incorrect position of saying, well, you know, we've lost all these wars, Iraq, Afghanistan, now Libya is a mess. We've destabilized Pakistan, Yemen, and Somalia with drone attacks. And, where does it end? That quote that you quoted from my piece, that was actually Obama in his introduction to the national security strategy. And to me, that's what he says, just obvious. And I'm an economist, and so you never have all the resources that you want, no matter what you're doing, whether you're providing health care or making guns and weapons and that sort of thing. So, you can't do everything. And I think our strategy has been to police the world. We kept doing what we were doing during the Cold War, after the Cold War ended, and yet, you know, Cold War ended, the circumstances changed, but our strategy didn't. And so, you know, we don't distinguish, like, why do we need to take out Muammar Gaddafi? It's actually a bad example, because he had actually one of the few authoritarian leaders that had made nice with the West. Now, he was still authoritarian, but he had given up his nuclear program and was playing ball. Well, if people like Saddam Hussein, who didn't have nuclear weapons, and Gaddafi, who gave his program up, are taken out, then, of course, that tells Iran, I need to get nuclear weapons really fast, because otherwise the U.S. could be over here taking us out. So I think you have to put, you know, we label people evil, and certainly some of these groups are evil, like ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Arabian Peninsula, but they're sort of reacting towards an anti-colonial, posture. And they're really just, there's some religion involved in it, but it's really a secondary thing. It's really anti-colonialism. You know, the West, even before the United States became the superpower after World War II, the British and the French, had dominated the, Middle East. And, so all these colonial powers, and a lot of the Arabs now regard, the United States as a neo-colonial power. And the real thing that sets these jihadists off, and I've said this, but I can't say this enough times on this show and other ones, because it never gets in the media. What really jacks the Islamic radicals up is non-Muslim occupation of Muslim land or attacking Muslim land. And, that's what the trigger was for bin Laden, and that's essentially what the trigger is for ISIS. But ISIS is a regional threat, and I think the solution here is we need to let our regional partners like Turkey, Jordan, handle ISIS. It's a regional threat, not necessarily a threat to the U.S. or not much of a threat. Al-Qaeda and the Arabian Peninsula may be a different story, but we have to assess each threat, and perhaps we shouldn't go charging off and destabilizing some of these places. There's been empirical evidence that before we started bombing, there was like 150 to 200 Al-Qaeda in the Arabian Peninsula people in Yemen. And then about, 5 or 6 years ago, they documented this meticulously. It had risen to over 1,000 after we started bombing. And who knows what it is today, because we're still at it. And I think the same thing has occurred with ISIS. There was 20 to 30,000 ISIS fighters before we started bombing, and now there's 50,000. And you say, well, why do people sign up for this brutal group when we're trying to do the right thing? Well, the problem is when you're attacking people from the air, I'm not saying that the U.S. is doing it on purpose, but you always end up killing some civilian people. And a lot of this in Afghanistan and ISIS in Iraq, et cetera, they're, you know, you're, you're, not a local. You don't get any. I wrote a book called The Failure of Counterinsurgency, and one of the big things is that even if you hand out candy to the kids, create development projects, you are still a foreign occupier. And we have to put Napoleon was a great military commander, and one of the reasons that he was, he would try to put his self in the the adversary's shoes. And if we do that, perhaps we do need to take military action. We can make a little lighter footprint instead of cruising into the Iraq invasion. We also went to a nation-building occupation of Afghanistan, and we should have probably, toned that down a bit, because we could have decimated al-Qaeda without doing that.
Yeah. Again, great points. You always make great points, especially when you said they're talking about occupying Muslim lands, non-Muslims occupying Muslim lands, and you're right, people don't talk about that enough. Ivan Elin, feel better, my friend. Thanks for coming on America Tonight.
Thanks a lot, Kate.
All right, so you can tell Ivan, we know this is why we like having him on. He's so passionate about what he talks about. And in his blog, he made some just great points this time around about why do we keep doing the same things over and over and over again. You know, we're talking about defense spending, and we talk about what we spend all over the world, and then we look at the Ukraine, and what are we gonna do with the Ukraine? There's a push to do something there, to provide arms for the Ukrainian government to battle, of course, the Russians after what they've done, and the Russian-backed Ukrainian separatists, really, and put more possible boots on the ground to fight ISIS in the Middle East. How would you feel if we had boots on the ground fighting ISIS? Do you think that this would be a great use of resources? Are we going into the same thing again and again and again and again and again and coming out of it on the other side and saying, ugh, nothing really changed? And I find that to be the most depressing thing of all, putting people in these situations, putting our men and women, frankly, in situations that are unwinnable, where nobody comes out on the right side of this. And I, for one, certainly do not want to see that. And this is a string of things that are happening that could push us into that very thing. Like I mentioned, ISIS for one, and providing more arms for the Ukrainian government. What happens there? We think of the war in Afghanistan, and we think of Iraq and slowly pulling ourselves out of that. And then what happened in Syria? Now we've got Pakistan, Somalia, and Yemen. And what do we do with all these Islamic countries? That's why I say it is trickier than quicksand. I say this all the time on the air. You've heard me, because it is, it is absolutely outrageous that we keep getting pulled in. Quicksand is the great analogy. You're stuck when you get in quicksand, and we are stuck with what's happening in the Middle East. So thanks to Ivan Elin for that. Stay with us. Much more to come on the flip side here on ATN.
The Freeze-Dry Guy presents Freeze-Dried Turkey, Freeze-Dried Ham, and the No-Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze-Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock-full of high-quality, great-tasting, freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House. The goal standard and long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze-Dry Guy's No-Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze-Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Not just an alternative to the mainstream media. We're the premier independent talk radio network. We are GCN.
For over 5 years, you've been hearing about the Berkey guy, so you may know a few things about him. For example, you are well aware of the superior quality and effectiveness of Berkey water filters and accessories. But did you know the Berkeys have had independent lab tests done to prove just how effective they are? It's true, and he can email you the test results. Just visit GoBerkey.com. You may also know that the Berkey guy has helped tens of thousands of people get better prepared. Now here's something you may not know. GoBerkey.com has amazing specials and deals all the time on a wide variety of survival and preparedness products. Most ready to ship same day. Visit the Berkey guy at GoBerkey.com. And be sure to click the red Products on Sale Now button. You can always call toll-free 877-886-3653. Again, that's 877-886-3653. GoBerkey.com, home of the Berkey guy.
You pick up the receiver. With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out...
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason!
You only once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the host you're listening to right now online at GCNlive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNlive.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document, worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
Tail end of the hour here on America Tonight. SNL, yep, Saturday Night Live, celebrated 40 years on the air. And it's interesting because of the skits they did involving politics, the musicians that they have had on over the years, the sports people and the sports skits that they did. And I think at some point you... and maybe I'm wrong, but at least most of us dipped into the Saturday night pool. You either really loved it, maybe you watched it off and on, or for a brief time you liked a certain comedian or actor that was on it, or you liked the Weekend News or whatever it is. If you like satirical things, then you probably paid attention to Saturday Night Live. And I have to say there were some great moments on Saturday Night Live, and there were some very weak moments on that program too as well. But it is something to last 40 years, especially in current times. That is a very long time to hang around. And I happened to watch bits and pieces of it, and there were some funny moments on it. Jerry Seinfeld said, boy, NBC thinks they have problems now. Imagine if the roof were to cave in, because there were so many famous people that were in the room of all walks of life that were there for a live show, and that was a crack at the whole Brian Williams thing. He said something as well, Seinfeld, about he had heard that Brian Williams was on the show, or that he had hosted the show. He had heard that he had said that, but he's not so sure. He doesn't know that that's really true. Oh, Brian Williams, in the middle of a six-month suspension, but the punchline of so many jokes. I said I was going to talk about what's been going on in aviation, and I mentioned the woman and the scorpion, but I wanted to flush out some of the details. I just want you to think for a second. You're on a plane, and you are stung by a scorpion. I mean, that is one of the most random things that could possibly, I think, that could possibly happen to you. I mean, how does it happen? And I know in my mind, as I mentioned, of course, planes are open. A scorpion could get into something and get on a plane, but it's such a rare thing. It's like that movie, Snakes on a Plane. So here's what happened. This flight was taxiing on the runway Saturday night when the passenger was stung. It was an Alaska Airlines jet. The plane returned to the gate. The woman was checked by medics. She didn't want additional medical treatment, but she didn't want to get back on the plane. So the flight attendants killed the scorpion. They checked the overhead compartments for any other possible scorpions or anything else. Then the flight ended up taking off about an hour late. And on that plane were members of the Oregon State University men's basketball team. They were on that flight. So how did it get on? We don't know. But here's what's interesting. You can kind of guess. The flight started in Los Cabos, Mexico. So guess what? They have scorpions there. So I'm assuming that maybe that's what happened. And here was a scorpion that was on the plane. It's interesting because the Oregon State coach was asked about it, and he said, you know, the woman was sitting just two rows in front of me, and she was a champ. She acted like it was a mosquito bite. They got it off her, but the needle was stuck. Oh, I don't know that I would have been such a champion if that had been me, if the needle was stuck in me from the scorpion. I lived for a brief period when I got out of school doing television news, actually, in El Paso, Texas. And boy, I lived in the foothills, and there were scorpions everywhere. Oh, and I was so not used to scorpions. I had no clue. I remember moving my bed in the middle of the room and just sweeping and checking everything, checking shoes, checking everything, because I would see them. I mean, I would see scorpions outside of the apartment because they would come out of the hills. So that would be kind of a wild, random thing to have that happen. And it's weird, too, because another college basketball team's plane had to make an emergency landing, and this was Mississippi State. They had just come back from beating the Missouri Tigers in a tight game on Saturday, and after they took off, about 20 minutes into the flight, all of a sudden an engine fails, and they could hear it. I mean, they could hear the bang, sort of a popping noise, a loud noise from the twin-engine plane, right? And then the flight attendant announces, well, we've lost an engine, and we need to land. Wow. Okay. So that's what they did. They landed. They turned around. They landed. It was fine. And the team bussed back to Starkville on Sunday. They spent the night in Missouri. They stayed in a hotel about an hour's drive from St. Louis because the rooms in St. Louis were pretty much at a premium because of the Mardi Gras stuff that was happening. And there was such strong wind, and this happens a lot in St. Louis. They couldn't get a replacement plane. They couldn't do it. So what a crazy thing. And I guess it was the second close call for them. They had one back in 2008. They were at the Southeastern Conference tourney in Atlanta, and the roof, and now I kind of remember these details, the roof of the Georgia Dome was ripped open. There was a storm toward the end of the game against Alabama. So a tornado kind of peeling back the roof, and then this blown engine. I mean, wow, crazy. And I think it kind of, the pilot landed the plane. They said the pilot did a good job, but it would have to freak you out to hear that loud bang noise. And then to have the flight attendant say, well, we lost an engine and we're going to land. And they did. They landed and it was fine. But I think there was some probably banged up nerves. So there's a lot of things happening aviation-wide. And then there were seven people who were injured after some turbulence on this plane in Hawaii. It was a United Airlines flight all of a sudden, boom, turbulence. You know, usually kind of you get that warning ahead of time. And there was a teenage girl who got a head injury on the flight, and it was going from Newark, New Jersey to Honolulu. So you're in Newark, New Jersey, temperature, I don't know, 10 degrees, and you're so excited. You're going to Hawaii. You're going to Hawaii, the land of hula dancing and flowers and beaches and incredible ocean views. And then that happens. And I guess this was, you know, this high wind warning. They had gusty, crazy winds, and they believe that's what it was that had, you know, hit the plane. So they just got the people who were injured off the plane, and including that teenager. And this was a plane that had about, you know, 240 passengers, give or take, and then all those crew members, too. So they just took them to the hospital. And a couple of the crew members didn't want to go to the hospital, but I guess they were a little bit banged up, too. The good news is everybody's okay, but a little freaky to have that sudden turbulence. You know, I think the scariest thing is when they talk about wind shears, because there have been planes, if you research it, there have been planes that have brought down terrible plane crashes because of wind shears that, you know, no one expected, or there were some wind problems, but they certainly weren't thinking it was going to bring a plane down. And that's been the cause of some really terrible, terrible aviation disasters in our history. In fact, in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, that was one of the worst disasters they ever had, and it was all due to a wind shear. I mean, just a crazy, crazy, crazy thing that, you know, happened. I mentioned the snow, too, so I figure we'll pack it all in here in this segment. And because I mentioned at the top that I'm getting so many photographs from people, and they're like the photographs you see anywhere, or the video you might see if you turn on the tube for a few minutes and, you know, take whatever picture you want. I mean, it's people buried in snow, or people shoveling, or big cranes removing snow. And I guess it's official. Boston has reached its snowiest month on record, 45.5 inches. So the snowiest, they broke the old record at 3, and we're not done with the winter yet. Not done with it yet. And the inches just keep piling up and piling up and piling up, and that's the month. So now you look at the overall total, and it's over 89.2 inches. And they think that this blizzard is kind of lingering through Sunday night. Cape Cod and all the islands off Massachusetts might see hurricane kind of force winds. They're already seeing some of those. They have terrible chill warnings. If you're listening to me, you know what I'm talking about. In Vermont and Massachusetts and New Hampshire, New York and Rhode Island, Connecticut, even parts of Maine and into Pennsylvania. So that cold air, that strong wind, ooh, what does it feel like? And it's no surprise that the Massachusetts governor, Charlie Baker, has said that the next 7 days, you know, he pretty much declared the next 7 days Valentine's week to try to help restaurants and flower shops and candy places and all of the small businesses that have just been hurled into big problems for the month because of the snowfall. Because who's going out? I mean, you're preparing for storms, and if they're going out, they're going out to the grocery store and they're just loading up on whatever food they need and just staying in, because it's too much of a nightmare to, one, try to park, to try to maneuver around the giant drifts of snow and everything else. So besides the usual problems with cars and parking and removing snow, it's the effect on the economy, too, that has just been so devastating to all the people who normally, especially this time of year, would make up some of the losses they might have seen. But your Valentine can easily eat soup versus going out for a steak and slip sliding all over the place and carrying a shovel to try to find a place to park. It would be absolutely ridiculous. All right, stay with us. Coming up, we're talking about SNL celebrating 40 big years. Hang with us.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right, General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
It's no secret that government and big business buy in bulk and get huge discounts not available to the little guy. Until now. Introducing a breakthrough crowd buying website where people can join together, buy in bulk, and get massive discounts on millions of popular products. It's TogetherSave.com. TogetherSave.com. You can save 20, 30, or even 50% off tablets, smartphones, cars, appliances, textbooks, sports equipment, video games, and much more. All with free delivery. Check it out. TogetherSave.com. Visit now and start group buying today at TogetherSave.com.
This is Tim Austin, Senior Vice President of Kmart. Our company is working together with the March of Dimes through March for Babies to raise money and awareness about the serious problem of premature birth in the U.S. As a business leader, I know that babies born very sick or too soon cost businesses billions of dollars each year. That's why Kmart is committed to raising funds through our employees, customers, family, and friends to improve the health of moms and babies everywhere. Won't you please join us in March for Babies? Start a team today at marchforbabies.org.
We're racing around making that final lap for this hour of ATN with me, Kate Delaney. Remember, you can always hook us up simply by going to americatonight.net on Twitter, Real Radio Talk, and Facebook is just Kate Delaney. There are a lot of accesses and portals and ways to get to the show. Speaking of all access, that seems to be what it was, that kind of a night, live from New York, Saturday Night Live at 40. They had a disclaimer in the beginning of the show because it started at about 7 o'clock and said that there are some things normally that wouldn't air in this time period. And they had all kinds of people that came out and were part of the remembrances, including Eddie Murray, who you never see, and people over the years, from Dan Aykroyd to Chevy Chase to Jane Curtin, who did the news back in the 70s, to Lorraine Newman and Garrett Morris, and so many others. I guess they've had more than 130 performers in all of the years, way more than 130. And they showed kind of a cool thing of some of the auditions, some of the people who auditioned for Saturday Night Live, who ultimately got jobs on Saturday Night, but some of them who didn't, who went on to big, you know, careers. So it was pretty interesting because to me it just is like a time capsule of what's happening in the world because of the fact that Saturday Night Live was timely, and whatever it was that they riffed on had to do with what was happening in our world, especially with politics, but even pop culture and all kinds of other things. So NBC, actually, earlier in the day, I happened to catch this on Meet the Press. They had put together kind of a little montage of some of the moments of Saturday Night Live, and I wanted you to hear them. Check it out.
Sidewinder missile, impossible to track. They're here, then they're here. The deficit's like some crazy aunt living down in the basement. Everyone knows she's there, but no one wants to talk about it.
I don't like the way this economy is acting. Not very American. It's evil. The economy is now part of my axis of evil.
And I can see Russia from my house.
This week, Ted, with my resignation from the Senate, we've begun our campaign anew.
Well, Pat, this is a deliberate attempt by the media to belittle me, and I'm just not going to stand for it.
The last thing America wants to dwell on is something that happened years ago, like who registered for what draft and how they got out of it, or when they finally did go to Vietnam, what side they may have fought on.
All right, so just a little snippet of some of the things that Saturday Night Live has done over the years. Certainly winning a whole bunch of Emmys, 45 primetime Emmys, but I don't think it's about the awards. I think it's about the people who were there and some of the characters that they played, from Mr. Bill, the little Play-Doh guy who was funny in the 70s, to Sarah Palin was in the audience. Sarah Palin stood up and took a question or asked a question of Jerry Seinfeld, which of course was planted, but it was pretty clever, and it was just a wild tribute. Matt, you said you watched SNL a little bit in the 90s. Did you have a favorite character or somebody that you liked that was on the show?
Not necessarily, but I guess like that there's the mid-90s to late 90s kind of cast crossover that, you know, I enjoyed, where it was, you know, that first group of Adam Sandler, Chris Farley, David Spade, and Mike Myers, and then later in the 90s when you had, what was his name?
Will Ferrell.
Phil Hartman, too, but then Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan and some of those guys came along. Jimmy Fallon was kind of at the tail end of that group, and they kind of carried it into the new millennium. So I was watching bits and pieces of it then.
Yeah, that would probably be more of when I was watching a lot of it, too. Not today. I can't tell you any of the people that are on today. I haven't watched in a very, very long time, other than if somebody YouTubes a skit and I see it or something, you know, it's on YouTube. But other than that, like the Tina Fey era, which is also part of the Adam Sandler era, and Kristen Wiig and Will Ferrell, same thing. That's when I definitely would have seen much more of it. Mike Myers, also during that time period. Wayne's World, that was the character that he created that went on to become a motion picture. I thought there were Phil Hartman impressions that were really good. I mean, the impressions that people, some of these people did were amazing. Will Ferrell did Bush and had him, you know, just right on. And also Tina Fey doing Sarah Palin, as I mentioned that Sarah Palin was in this live audience because of a good relationship with some of the people with Saturday Night Live, showing that she could take the jokes, because that's the whole thing. You're spoofing the politicians and whatnot. What's interesting is they always have a guest host, and Steve Martin has been on 15 times. But Alec Baldwin, I guess, had been on 16 times. So he's the most to ever host a Saturday Night Live program. And, you know, you're kind of operating without a net. There's some other little cool factoids about that show, including the fact that, you know, they had all these different musical guests and some really big ones. Nirvana during their heyday, U2, and, you know, just think of musicians, and they probably were on there, but they never got the Beatles, and I guess they tried to get the Beatles. There was, in 1976, there's a $50 million reunion offer that they made to the Beatles, but, you know, they didn't bite on it. And Lorne Michaels countered with some crazy lowball number to be funny. It was like 3,000. And it almost happened because Paul McCartney was visiting John Lennon in New York, and they went down to the studios, but it didn't. They couldn't pull it together. Separately, they appeared on the shows, like Paul McCartney, who was also there and performed. George Harrison, who's no longer with us, but he appeared, and Ringo Starr too. Also, were on the show, but they almost got them, and that would have been a huge musical moment if they had been able to do that. Oh, if they could have, landed them. So anyway, it was interesting because, like I said, it just chronicles life for 40 years and seeing some of the skits and some of the actors and some of the things that they did on Saturday Night Live, and the fact that they did it, I think, live for this big celebration was kind of interesting. And you know, that's the whole thing about Saturday Night, operating without a net. Without a net. And I don't think when they started it, in some of the interviews that I've seen with the creator, Lorne Michaels, I don't think that they necessarily thought that this thing just goes on forever and ever and ever, and 40 years, and continuing after 40 years is pretty darn long. And a lot of the people that played were players on Saturday Night Live, lasted sometimes for 4, 5, 6, 7, even 8 years, and then ultimately went on to do other things, to have movie careers or do whatever else that they were going to do. But what a slice of life. You know, we talk about numbers on this show when we do our We Can Count segment, and it was just chock full of all kinds of numbers, and that was the thing I found so interesting that just popped out at me, the characters that they imitated. I mean, Will Ferrell was just a master at George W. Bush, who said he wasn't offended by it. He actually found it flattering, and he wasn't the only one who imitated him. And Tina Fey, that I already mentioned, in 2008 with her version of Sarah Palin, and then there was Amy Poehler, who did Hillary Clinton, and then Hillary Clinton made an appearance on the show, just like Tina Fey and Sarah Palin were together on the show at one point. And certainly there were characters that people, you know, parodies of celebrities too, that they nailed, like Dan Aykroyd and the Blues Brothers. I mean, to me, that was one of my favorites. If we go back to the throwback, I think the Blues Brothers, pretty good. Still a good movie that absolutely holds up. Yo, yo, thanks for listening to America Tonight.
Body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective, and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.